Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to say I'd like to ask everyone to please send lots of prayers to my good friend John in Virginia. He passed away yesterday, and please send lots of love and light to his family, too. They're very sad about his passing, and it's been very hard on the family, but I know with your love and light, things will get better. I wanted to tell everyone my next Galactic Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And there's a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early before November 1st. For details, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I mentioned this before, but I have some exciting events planned for this fall. On Saturday, September 29th, I'm having a Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia. I'll be giving a free presentation there on my new book, Messages from the Masters, with messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, and Nostradamus, and others. And there will be other psychics and people selling beautiful, very, very special crystals. The event is free. Vendor tables for the events, only $50. And if you'd like to come, like to have a vendor table, please email me or call me. Then on November 10th, Saturday, I'll be having a very special healing event by Michiko Hayashi of the Immortal Peace Project in Olympia. She'll be coming from Tokyo and giving a presentation on her messages from water, and also will be giving very special Hado vibrational healing sessions. Other psychics and wonderful people will be there. The event is free, and I hope you can come. Finally, on Saturday, January 19th, 2019, I'll be hosting a huge psychic and spiritual event in Olympia at the same location. The event is free and hope you can come. The vendor tables for the event are only $50 for the day. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793 if you'd like a vendor table. This summer, in addition, next month from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for several years, and it's a wonderful opportunity to meet Sasquatch, see UFOs, and meet the people of Telos as well. It's an amazing place. The cost is only $200 and includes free dry camping right on Mount Shasta next to one of the entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth. I want to tell everyone, if they do come on the trip, there's certain spiritual protocols that they need to follow, including not eating any meat. They also need to be at the highest and most positive vibration. It's an incredible and amazing place, and I guarantee you'll have a wonderful time. I've heard reports secondhand from several people during the last couple of weeks that the last trip I took there, several people were miraculously healed. One person was healed of fibromyalgia. Another person who'd been crippled for decades was given basically a new set of legs to walk, and it's a place where miracles do happen. The Sasquatch and the people of Hollow Earth have amazing healing properties. And if you have any physical conditions there that need remedies, I can ask the Telosians and the Sasquatch for help. The Sasquatch, for the most part, are very, very beneficial and very loving and healing entities. They are actually half human and half they're part of an ancient lemur race that went extinct several hundred thousand years ago. But they want to help us, and they're very benevolent, and they communicate telepathically. So if you do have any physical problems, they can be very, 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 very helpful. And with that, I'd like to bring on a wonderful gentleman named Brian Tigman. He's been in touch with the Lemurians of Telos and Master Adama, the High Priest of Telos. His website is www.lostlemuria.com. He'll be joining me on this trip to Mount Shasta next month. And I wanted to welcome Brian to the show. Brian, hi, how are you today?
Hey, Ted, how are you?
I'm so glad you could come on today. Your energy is great, and it's always very, very, very uplifting and very, very bright. And
thanks for having me.
I'm fine today. We're pretty uh, We've got lots of smoke and haze up here in Seattle. People ask me all the time, Brian, what's the weather like down on Mount Shasta? Are you down there now? And what's the weather like down there now?
I am. It's smoky. Fire is still in the neighborhood of about 50 miles out from the mountain.
Uh-huh.
But because it's still so large, we've had, I think, 215,000 acres that have burned now. It is 75% contained, so that's great news.
Okay.
But because that fire is so large, we are getting quite a bit of smoke here on the mountain.
I see.
It has not limited us and our activities, but it is prevalent, so we're all sending our best prayers for those firefighters and for all those affected.
Well, I'd like to do what's called the Ho'oponopono, which is used, which was used by Dr. Emoto and of the Emoto office in Tokyo, Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project. And I'd like to ask everyone, I know the power of prayer and the power of intention. We are all powerful spiritual beings. And I'd like everyone to please say this prayer today to send lots of love and light to the people of Northern California, as well as to the mountains here in Washington State and Oregon, wherever there are fires here on the West Coast and anywhere in the world, so that the firefighters, especially in California, will be safe, and the ones in Washington as well in Oregon will be safe and protected from any harm, and they will be able to put out these fires, and that they will be able to stop them to provide relief soon, especially and protect the people in those areas. It's a very simple little prayer. I hope I pronounce this right, the Ho'oponopono. It's from Hawaii. But if you could say this, Brian, we'll say it three times, and I'm asking everyone around the world to please say this after me for three times and send lots of love and light, especially to Northern California. Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we thank you.
Earth, we thank you.
Earth, we love you.
Earth, we love you.
Okay, two more times. Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we thank you.
Earth, we thank you.
And Earth, we love you.
Earth, we love you.
And finally, Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, please forgive us.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we're sorry.
Earth, we thank you.
Earth, we thank you.
And Earth, we love you.
Earth, we love you.
And ask that the fires be stopped, especially in Northern California, here in Washington State, and around the world, wherever they are, in Oregon. And thank you so much. I know my spirit friend saying that will really help. Those good positive thoughts will really help. I just had an hour-long program now, Brian, with Simon Parks, live from England. And he says that particle beam weaponry is actually being used some of the fires are naturally caused, and especially around Redding and Northern California, but some of them actually are not, and they've been using particle beam weaponry to obliterate homes and melt cars. It's a crazy situation. Have you heard anything down where you are there on the ground, Brian?
I've not heard, anything specifically, but just through my own guidance and awareness, my feeling is that these activities are taking place, and also I think this has to do with some of the geoengineering projects that have been going on for such a long time. We have an expert down here in Redding, California, named Dane Wigington.
He's a wonderful man.
Geoengineering.
Wonderful man.
Very bright guy. So he's one of the leaders in the forefront of bringing this awareness out to folks, and so I do not believe that these are all natural events.
Right, I couldn't agree with you more. I remember when I was driving past Mount Shasta during October 2016, Brian. I opened up the window early one morning. I was driving past Mount Shasta, and there must have been at least 40 or 50 chemtrails. I'm not making this up, and the sky was not blue, Brian. It was this weird orangish, reddish, yellowish color, and it looked like a Peter Max painting with all the colors. I mean, it looked pretty, but I hated to think what kinds of chemicals were up there. They were spraying, but they were all over the place. And then later, I found out from Dane Wigington that there's been a lot of aluminum sprayed in the forests around Mount Shasta, and many trees were dying as a result of the spraying. But Dane's a good man, and thank you so much for bringing him up. Brian, tell us about your spiritual journey, and how did you end up in Mount Shasta, of all places in the world?
I had a catalyst event. I went through a difficult period in my life. It's often referred to as the dark night of the soul experience. Mm-hmm. And our higher selves will often guide us to these kinds of experiences that will, you know, kind of shake us to the core and cause us to take pause and to reevaluate ourselves and to reevaluate our priorities. And so this was taking place for me in 2011 and 12. And so I began a serious meditation practice and also began further investigation into really seeking my own spiritual truth. And so I was very committed to this, and I was meditating every day. And somewhere around 75-80 days in, I was having a tough time, and I actually, in my meditation, called out to Archangel Michael, and to be honest, I was asking him if he would bring me home. In that instant, he showed himself to me. It was a life-changing, life-altering event. It happened very quickly. The conversation was quite short. He said, "Yes, Brian, you will come home, but not yet. We have work to do. You will see me again. I am the Archangel Michael." And that was the extent of that conversation. But in that moment, my life was changed for the better. This was the first time that I had ever had any such experience whatsoever, and so it was life changing. And so from there, I just went further and further into my path and the work of my path. And about a year after that, a friend of mine recommended the Telos book by Aurelia Louise Jones.
Oh yeah.
And so I looked at these books, and I read the description, and I just discounted it immediately. You know, Lemurians and the city and the mountain and blah, blah, blah. And I just, whatever. And I ignored it. My friend, who is one of my earth teachers and mentors, I trust her very much, 3 or 4 months goes by, and she calls me, and she asks, "Brian, did you ever read those Telos books?" And I said, "No." She said, "I really think that they're encouraging you to read them." So I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. So I ordered the first book, and it didn't take long at all. I got into it, and the material really resonated as truth. It felt true to me. And so I latched on to that material, and then I began doing some of the guided meditations to Telos. And through this period of time, Archangel Michael was teaching me, you know, how to do this kind of work. And so he took me, Archangel Michael took me to Telos, introduced me to the Ascended Master, High Priest Adama. And so we had a meeting, and then from there we had several other meetings. And time goes on, and then in August of 2015, I was actually made an offer by my higher self and Adama to move out here from Tennessee and to begin this work in earnest. And so we had to have some conversation about that, and then I accepted the offer. And within just a very short period of time, I transitioned out of a 25-year career in the corporate world. I was in supply chain management. I also had created some products for horse hoof care. So I was running a business on the side. So within about 3 months' time, I sold my business. I sold my house, quit my job, loaded up, and came to Mount Shasta. I landed here in May of 2016, went to work right away. Within 1 year, we released, Adama and I released our first book. It's called Telos, Welcoming New Earth, and we are well underway now with book number two. So that's how I got here.
Well, I'm so happy you're on this spiritual path, Brian, and I know that the spirits are all clapping for you. They're all clapping for you for this path at Mount Shasta. Was it a little hard for you to follow your heart when you came out to Shasta? I mean, did you have after leaving an occupation you've had for a long time?
No, Ted. I was there. I would say between 3 and 4 years, I was heavily investing in my spiritual journey. And during that time, I was still working in the corporate world. And I found that I was shifting internally. And the corporate world had served me very well for so many years. But now, all of a sudden, I just found that it was not resonating with me, with
sure.
who I am.
Sure.
And so I was very anxious and very, I welcomed the change. This is a new path. It's a new set of skills that I'm learning, public speaking, writing, channeling, all this kind of stuff is
mm-hmm.
new.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel very natural because this is my soul's path. This is my dharma. This is my purpose. And it essentially took about 47 years for me to find my dharma. And so when this happens, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift for us. And there are many, many individuals who are experiencing similar things right now where they are shifting internally, and the circumstances that they've been living for some reason now just don't resonate with them. And that will be one, this is the divine discontent that is rising within us. And that divine discontent will compel us to begin asking new questions and seeking answers to those questions. So I believe this is part of the shift. I think it's happening globally at some level.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm getting a message from the people, my contacts at the Hollow Earth. They're all waiting for you to come up with me. And they in September on this trip, Brian, and you've got a lot of more important work to do in educating the people and helping raise their consciousness as part of this ascension process. So this is just the start. They also say this will be the last year of forest fires of this magnitude in Northern California.
Because that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news.
Yeah, because they said a lot of these forest fires are not natural. You know what's funny is that I just received a let me pull it up. I just received an email from a organization called Los Angeles Skywatch, and they're actually having a conference tomorrow in Los Angeles with about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different speakers about how the fires in Northern California are actually caused by directed energy weapons. I'm going to go ahead and give you the information. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, please stop by. It's on August 18th from 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Unurban Coffee House. The address is 3301 Pico Boulevard, P-I-C-O, in Santa Monica, California. And if you'd like more information, please call 310-315-0056. Again, that's 310-315-0056. And also, please visit their website at laskywatch.com. Isn't that timely? I just got it a minute ago while I was on air.
Yeah.
You know.
Great. Thanks for sharing that information, Ted. You know, it's time for us to The part of this shift right now, what's happening is all of the repressed shadow, the shadow side is coming up now for our observation and awareness, and this is happening at the individual level,
right?
And it's happening at the collective level. We are in this period of balancing now, and all of that that we have created together or created for ourselves, all that requires to be balanced is coming to the forefront, mm-hmm. so that we can see it quite plainly. And so, you know, on the one hand, I think we have some very challenging times ahead of us. On the other hand, this is a good sign, you know, that these things are coming into the general awareness and that we can begin to come together and have a real conversation about some of the issues. And you can see everything is coming up right now. It's mm-hmm. just really crazy right now.
And for people who think that we're crazy to discuss this here on the air, Brian, if you're on the West Coast, all you have to do is look outside. I mean, these fires are tremendous. I mean, I grew up here in the Washington State area, and I never remembered in the past having this kind of fire and this kind of smoke up here. But we're getting hit in Seattle several different ways. We have fires in the Cascades blowing into the Seattle area. We also get hit with fires in Oregon and Northern California around your area, blowing up the coast, carried by the prevailing winds up here too. So I've heard reports that most of Oregon, the corridor from Portland down to Medford and Ashford into Mount Shasta, is also one big fog, and people are asking, well, this is not natural. None of these fires seem to be natural. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, Brian, what does Adama and the spirits of Telo say about this?
Well, you know, they are telling us that this is part of the shift, the awakening process, mm-hmm. and that a lot of these things that have been hidden from view are coming forward. They're coming forward to be balanced, to be healed, and they're coming forward so that we can see them as a collective, and then we get to choose. We get to decide together: is this acceptable? Do we accept the current condition? Yes or no. And if we don't find the current circumstances and conditions to be acceptable, then what will we choose to create? You know, Adama, one of the biggest things that he wishes to remind us of is that each and every one of us are creator beings of life. We are creating our individual and collective experience mm-hmm. in every moment. And the way that we're creating is through our thoughts, our beliefs, and our emotions, and then, of course, the resulting action. But it is really about what we intend to happen. What vision are we holding? What do we expect to happen? And he tells us that this is, you know, that we are really powerful, and especially when we come together in groups, when we come together in unity consciousness for a common goal. You know, so to give you an example, and I'm just making up numbers here, but if 50% of the world's population set it firmly in their intention that we are to have world peace and abundant life for all, and if 50% of the population just took 15 or 20 minutes each day to sit down in meditation and prayer and co-creation, and holding that vision for our beautiful, peaceful, benevolent new earth, if half of the population would do this just 15, 20 minutes a day, we would see peace on earth materialize in such a short period of time that it would it would just blow our minds. I mean, this is how powerful we are. The change lies in our hands. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the primary messages, is that we have to take responsibility for ourselves individually, and we have to take responsibility for the world that we're living in together. And this is the way that change will come about. There will be catalyst events that are coming forward to increase our awareness, to draw our attention to these things. And then, hopefully, with this divine discontent rising within the individual, the idea is that more and more of us will be coming together to work in groups, to work in unity consciousness, and that more and more of us will find a little bit of time, a half hour. I know everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pressures of daily life, but it is our choice as to how we spend our time each day. We do have a certain amount of time and hours that are allotted to us. And I know everyone's busy, but everyone can find 30 minutes a day for a stillness practice. Everybody can make 30 minutes a day. And this is so important for us now on so many levels, to find our own internal balance, our own internal harmony, our place of refuge here in our home. This is going to be only of more and more importance as we go forward. And so this is what he says. He says we can see, for example, he says that we are on the new earth timeline.
Mm-hmm.
These decrees have come forth. They've been issued by our Creator. And so we will go to our new earth.
Mm.
Now, how we get there, the details of how things play out between here and there, that's up to us as a collective and what we choose to create in every moment.
Brian, I just love what you said. That's great. It's so profound and right to the point. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing
sure.
that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you've written one book already, and you're coming out with a second book soon. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're well underway with book number two. Just another series of messages coming out, and it's an interesting combination of topics that
mm-hmm.
That Adama gives us. And one of the things that they want to do is to really, for those of us who have an open heart and an open mind to this kind of a conversation, they want us to make it real for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just to understand that this is not the talk of fairy tales or mythology. They are very real beings who are there in the fifth dimensional city of light called Telos, there in the mountain of Mount Shasta in the inner earth, and they want us to know that they are here, they're real, they have been here holding the balance of light for the planet for many millennia now, and they have a great deal to share with us in the days ahead. The time will come, we don't know when, but the time will come when the Lemurians and other Star Nation races will be able to step forward and make themselves known to us in a more prevalent way. And when this happens, what a great day for humanity and Gaia this is going to be. What a celebration. And so they have a great, great deal that they're going to share with us and teach us. And so part of the work of this book is to help us to just to allow ourselves to open to the possibility of their existence.
Well, Brian, if you don't mind, I'd love to share a little bit about what you've written on your website, www.lostlemuria.com, because it sets a stage for people who don't know much about Lemuria and Mount Shasta. And if you like, I'd just like to read a couple of sentences. You write,
okay.
Yeah, you're right. While the continent of Lemuria sank over 12,000 years ago, the legends, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, of the time of Mu, Lemuria, and Atlantis remain ever present in our consciousness. As our last golden age drew to a close, the world fell into darkness. However, long before the final destruction of the continents, the Lemurians understood that a dark age was coming to planet Earth. Rather than leave the darkness behind, they chose instead to use their highly advanced technology to build cities and networks inside the inner Earth. This was to be their home until such time as humanity was ready to see them once again. And we are moving closer to that day, and I couldn't agree with you more that that's coming now to fruition. The Lemurians understood long ago that the Age of Light and Enlightenment would return, and I think that time is now. They chose to remain in the inner Earth or Hollow Earth for millennia to assist Heaven in holding the balance of light for Gaia, Mother Earth, and humanity until such time we're ready to hold the light for us again. And I think this is time. This is absolutely time for people to realize that we have another whole entirely advanced civilization beneath Mount Shasta. And actually, as I understand it, and I'd love your viewpoint on this too, Brian, that actually there are many different entrances to the Hollow Earth or Inner Earth throughout this planet. Shasta is just one of those. I know there's another one at Cusco in Peru. I was there. It's been, many people have been there, but there's also entrances to the Hollow Earth in Tibet. I've heard that there's places there. But anyway, I'd love your comments on that.
Yeah, absolutely right. According to what I've been told, there's just a tremendous amount of activity that's taking place within the realms of the inner Earth. Now, let me say that not all of the activities taking place there are benevolent. This is one of those areas where we have to use our discernment. So Telos is linked through, they have a tunnel system, and they are linked to other cities of what they refer to as the Agartha Network.
Mm-hmm.
The Agartha Network is a network of cities and people or individuals who have achieved the level of consciousness and love consciousness of the fifth dimension. So, as we might view it, they have ascended to the higher fifth dimension. And so those cities are all tied together. They are all working together. They are all friendly neighbors. And they do have transportation systems that will, they can travel to, and I agree with you, I've traveled to the city of Cusco. They're under Machu Picchu. We have Jambala in the Far East. There's a city under Liechtenstein, just off of the country of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
There's the city of Ahatana, just off the coast of Maui. These cities are all in the inner Earth, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just off of Maui is the original capital city of Lemuria. It's called Ahatana. And so when Lemuria sank, we still have remnants of Lemuria, those being the Hawaiian Islands, New Zealand, some of the islands in the South Pacific, and even a good deal of our California coast was at one time the eastern seaboard of Lemuria. And that's why we see some of the different biology, vegetation here. As soon as you come across the Sierra Nevadas, you can see that the geology and flora and fauna begin to change.
Sure.
So, for example, we have the redwoods and sequoias here, and so those were unique.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Well, there's one thing I was told several years ago, and I wanted to run this by you, Brian, is that the area from Mount Shasta all the way up to Vancouver Island in Canada, was once part of Lemuria, but then when there was a nuclear war between the Atlanteans, who tried to control the planet, and the Lemurians, and part of their continent actually broke off and drifted toward the West Coast. And so, but what's happened since that time, and I'd love your comment on this, Brian, that energy from Lemuria is there now, all the way from Shasta, where you are, up to Seattle and Vancouver Island. So you get a lot of spiritual activity. You get a lot of people interested in ascension, in learning about the new earth, in spiritual things here more than other parts of the United States and more than other parts in North America. I know there's pockets of spirituality, certainly down in Los Angeles. There's some good pockets of spirituality there, and in Arkansas and in different parts of the country. But for a landmass area, that's what I've been told, that that's the reason why there's a lot of spiritual activity from Shasta north to Vancouver Island.
But there's a book, Ted. It's called Lemuria, the Lost Continent of the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
This book is by Wisher Survey,
mm-hmm.
CERVE. Very interesting book. A gentleman was given a set of scrolls in Tibet. He was told to take it to the Rosicrucians, which he did. He brought two down here to Southern California to the Rosicrucian headquarters. They looked through their ranks, and they found this very accomplished man, mm-hmm. Wisher Survey, and they asked him to undertake the task of sorting out these old documents, which he did, and he brought forward this book. In this book, he describes that there were apparently he's even discovered old world maps that showed North America was originally smaller than it is today, and just off of the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
there was a long, narrow island. And for a great many years, we don't know exactly how many, it was known as the Golden Isle. And
really?
So apparently,
wow.
According to the author, this is documented, that it was actually documented
mm-hmm.
by explorers, that there was, that it was known, it was put on maps, and it was called the Golden Isle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into some other segment of history, and I don't know if this was if this was warfare or if this was some cataclysmic event, geothermal activity, plate shifting, this sort of thing. The island, the Golden Isle, did shift over into North America. And, of course, then there was another period of resettling, and we end up with the land mass as we know it today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's beautiful. That just confirms what I've been told by my galactic friends and also the
mm-hmm.
the Talosians as well beneath Mount Shasta. Wow, amazing.
So, yes, there is a very strong energy. People who are, I see a lot of people here on the mountain who are tied in to the Lemurians, and so they also have a very strong presence there in Hawaii. So I see a lot of people traveling back and forth between Hawaii and Mount Shasta, and then also a very special energy in the Redwoods. There's a special Lemurian energy there, but of course, that's some of Mother Nature at her finest
right
there. So there's plenty of reasons to go and visit the Redwoods.
Right, and I know that too, if you overlay the ascension of the planet, like I've talked about this before in my program, but there's something called the Schumann Residence, where the residence of the planet, Brian, was at 7.8 hertz for many thousands of years, up until about September 2016. And during that month, it doubled to 13.8 hertz, almost doubled to 13.8. And since that time, it's somewhere right around, I've heard, about 230 hertz. And by the end of December 2020, it will be about 800 hertz or higher. What that means is that negative entities, negative governments, negative people will not be able to handle the higher vibrations, and they will exit. But on the other hand, the other side of the coin is that your work, my work, and people's consciousness will be will become much more important to people because the entire planet will be rising in vibration. And then by the year 2025, Simon Parks has told me before in my show that this process will be completed and we will have shifted into the fifth dimension. We currently live in the third dimension. And for those unfamiliar with different dimensions, there's a total of 12 different dimensions, at which at the 12th dimension, that's where the Supreme Being, or God, if you will, who created all of this, resides. And we live here in the third dimension now, but we're shifting rapidly into the fifth dimension. The fourth dimension is where time exists, and the fifth dimension is where there's no time, at least not time as we know it. Things become much lighter. And I guess this brings me to another point, too. From your knowledge of the Lemurians and the Talosians beneath Mount Shasta, I've been told that they live for far longer than we do, at least 1,000 years, sometimes much longer. What have they told you, Brian? I'd love your information on comment on that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the minimum point of entry into Telos is a fifth dimensional, what we just might say, heart consciousness or mm-hmm. love consciousness.
Sure.
It's a different vibration. It's a higher vibration. And so that's the minimum point of entry. But Telos actually exists up through those higher dimensions that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so there are, at any given time, there may be a number of visitors, beings from across multiple dimensions who are all able to come together and have meetings and communion there in Telos. So I just wish to set the groundwork for that conversation. If we think about the ascended master Adama, the high priest of Telos, now I cannot speak specifically for the master, but I can guarantee you that he himself has attained a much higher level than 5D. So mm-hmm. he is there. They are there. They have remained in 5D for our benefit.
I see.
And that's the reason that this will all play out and that we will be able to come together at some point in time. But many of those beings are much more highly advanced. Right. Now, Adama tells me that essentially they get to choose how long they wish to stay in any particular embodiment. Mm-hmm. Adama tells me that he's been in that particular form now for over 26,000 years.
Wow.
And this is not uncommon for cosmic beings at all.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, they don't have the same body density as we do. They are in their crystalline light body. Now, they do enjoy food in Telos. They do enjoy, obviously, a vegetarian diet, fruits and vegetables. But this is really not even necessary. They get their life force energy through sunlight. This is prana, chi, life force energy. And they do not suffer from the same body conditions, disease, and ailments that we do. They have no such thing in Telos and the higher dimensions. They're able to maintain their own body, you know, their body frequencies, their body health. And so there's just never any discord or imbalance that comes into the bodily form. So they can quite literally stay in those forms as long as they choose.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. When I was there at the first week in July, I did a meditation group. About 10 people were there. And we all prayed and meditated for the people of Telos to come visit us. And they did, actually. But what was fascinating, Brian, I wanted to run this by you. What was fascinating is that each of us saw something different and resonated differently depending upon our own spiritual levels. Some of us went in on the astral plane to Telos and the Hollow Earth. Others saw the people of Telos physically. They appeared. Still others were able to talk to them telepathically, but it was all a different kind of experience for everybody. I talked to everybody afterwards. And the other thing happening, too, as the vibrations on this planet go higher and higher, it's getting easier and easier for them to come to the surface because they don't have to go down to our level as much because they're already in a high vibrational state.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things this is all happening in a more or less natural way. Everyone is in the midst of their personal awakening process, whether they are consciously aware of it or not. It's mm-hmm. happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when I began my work with Archangel Michael, I was given a process whereby I created a personal pyramid in the fifth dimension. And this is where I was going to do my work. And this is for a couple of reasons. One was to assist me in learning and training myself to raise my vibration to the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from there that Archangel Michael and many others would be willing and able to lower their vibration to mm-hmm. meet me at 5D. So in other words, let's just say that you have angelics who reside in the blissful state of the seventh dimension.
Mm-hmm.
They are more than happy to meet us halfway in 5D, and we can have open face-to-face communication, or as it were, it's not happening in my physical body, but we can have conscious communication and communion with them that way. However, they will not lower their vibration to the level of the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
The Telosians will not do so either. And so if this is something that we desire to have these kinds of relationships, then we need to do the work to raise our vibration so that we can do that.
Once again, very profound and very words full of wisdom. Brian, thank you so much for explaining that. And for people coming on the trip today or interested, what you said is extremely important. They're willing to meet us halfway, but we have to do the work, of course, to raise our vibrations.
Right. And, you know, and this is appropriate anyway. You know, what I would say is, the number one message, really, from Adama and Telos, they really want us to arrive at the conclusion on our own that we are in the midst of a major planetary shift. Time is growing short. We are all individually and collectively being guided toward our choice point. This is a point of awareness whereby we come to understand the reality or the nature of our situation and of what's at stake for us individually and collectively. That is, we are in the midst of our planetary ascension process. Gaia is ascending to the fifth dimensional new Earth. She and the company of heaven wish to bring as many of us along as would choose it. But this is not a give me. It's not a freebie. And this is the message that we have for humanity. It's not a freebie. You must choose your ascension, and you must begin doing the work to bring yourself into the balance, into the heart space, into the higher vibration that will allow you to move forward. There's no judgment one way or the other. Not everyone is going to make it. Many will not see the opportunity. It will pass them by. But for those who are able to see it, we desire for them in their own way, not because they were told, because they feel the truth of it in their own heart space, mm-hmm. that they make their own choice. And that is the choice to go with Gaia. That is the choice to have their personal ascension. That is their choice to step off of the wheel of karma and reincarnation and to earn their victory in the light in this lifetime. This is what we wish and endeavor for all of our brothers and sisters of humanity.
Once again, very profound and wise words. I appreciate you for sharing that so much, Brian. And I want to tell people, too, for those of you who are skeptical about what Brian is saying, resonate with your heart. If it resonates with you, I urge you to visit the Mount Shasta area, whether it's with me or somebody else or just on your own even. During the summertime, you can take a road all the way up to the – it doesn't go all the way to the top, but it goes close to an area where you can see the top. And just go there at night, because every time I've been up there at night, you see all these UFOs flying in and out of the mountain. You also see a lot of UFOs, extraterrestrial craft from the hollow earth coming in and out of the mountain and also flying through the sky at night, too. I've also been down to James Gillian's ranch here at Mount Adams here in Washington State, and you see the same thing at night because Mount Adams is yet another portal for the people of the hollow earth. But it is happening. It is real. And you can see the physical evidence for that as well. Now, the other thing that's happened too, Brian, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I've been up at the top, toward the top of Mount Shasta, and at night when the sun's going down, there has been times when a huge purple and or blue orb has appeared over me and others in this group. And it's Adama, actually, and other spirits from the other entities from the hollow earth who are visiting us. And you don't need a camera. It's just there. And there's no logical third-dimensional explanation for it, and it's amazing. Have you seen that, too? Have you seen the orbs up there when you've been up
well,
there?
Well, you know, I have not seen that myself, but I will say this, Ted. When I'm hosting visitors to the mountain, one of the first things that I encourage the visitor to do is to leave the old world behind.
Yeah.
Just for your time here on the mountain.
Good idea.
Take all of those old beliefs, those paradigms, what is possible, what is not possible, what's real, what's not real. Take all that stuff and just set it down just for the time being. I invite people to open their hearts to the possibility of wonder and magic, because magic happens on this mountain every single day. It is a sacred site. There's a reason it's known as a sacred site. The veils of illusion are much thinner here. It's much easier for us to communicate with our family of light in the higher realm, meaning in Telos or wherever they may be, the Sirians, Arcturians, Pleiadians, whoever. And so it's easier for us to have those experiences here. The veils are quite thin. There is a tremendous amount of activity on this mountain. And Telos does receive many visitors from other star nations. Their ships are coming and going. As you say, the locals around here are very well aware, to the point where most people don't even think much about it. It's just what many of us would say a normal part of life here on this mountain.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Brian. We've got about 45 seconds left, Brian, and you've been such a wonderful guest today. I'm so honored and pleased you could come on the program, and you'll be joining me on my trip on our trip to Mount Shasta next month. I'm so happy.
I'm excited, Ben. I can't wait. I can't wait.
So, anyway, I want to give you I don't have much time left, 20 seconds to wrap up your wonderful interview. And then, again, thank you so much for coming on my show today, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Ted. I just want to encourage everybody to take care of themselves. You know, as we do the individual work, as we heal ourselves, we heal others.
Right.
And this is so important right now.
Sure.
Take care of yourself. Take care of those people around you. This is unity consciousness. This is community. And this is the way that we're going to get through these shifts and these coming days.
Brian?
Is together as a family of humanity.
Absolutely.
Not with government and any of that.
Sure.
It's going to be us coming together, working together, loving
Brian,
each other, taking care of each other.
We've run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on. If you're interested in coming on the trip, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Thank you again, Brian, for coming on. I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy weekend. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.